This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
There's no way she stands for the values of the people of Michigan. But I watched her this morning. She's vicious. She's like a crazed lunatic. She's screaming.
All right, so more with the squad. And she is one of the members of the squad that the president is calling out. Hey, everybody, we're talking about those tweets again. They're not going away. And, of course, they're at a rally. The 37-year-old that we're talking about is Muslim American, and the conversation has ratcheted up all the way around with so many interviews that are out there and so much of what's happening as Congresswoman Tlaib spoke out against the practice of female genital mutilation, which is something that is practiced horribly in the Middle East. And then it goes back again to what's happened with the chanting mobs and what happened on the stage. And, boy, it's a wild fervor that doesn't seem to it's going away. It doesn't seem like any lines are being erased or whatever. And this is the world we live in, right, where we analyze dice and dive into those characters that come across on Twitter, which is interesting because I got an email from someone named Mark who said, Kate, it's funny, I never even cared about Twitter, could care less about social media, and I just recently got on Twitter because I want to know what's happening with all these things, politically speaking. It seems like every single show we're talking about something that's happened on the Twittersphere, as you call it, and then it becomes part of the vernacular. It does. It becomes part of what we're talking around about in this country. And as I say on this show, what happens that applies to you and me and affects us, politically speaking, are the people that represent us. And ultimately, what are the distractions and what do the distractions do in the longer run and in the bigger picture for all of us when there's so much that could be happening that's not. I mean, luckily there was some bipartisan agreement the other day on a budget, but we don't hear the word bipartisan very often, and we hear more name calling really than anything else, and deflecting and defending and all of that in between. So the Democrats are looking at ways they can take this and manipulate it and use it toward 2020. And the Republicans are either distancing themselves for it, trying to figure out what it all means, or doing an end around on whatever is happening that's going on with especially the four congresswomen, and in particular Tlaib this time around, who represents Michigan. And of course, Omar, Congresswoman Omar from Minnesota, has also been in the middle of this. And then two others, AOC from New York and Congresswoman Presley from Massachusetts. I think eventually we move on from this, but this is a chunk of time where the news cycle and the conversation on the relevance of it is absolutely sky high. The Democratic Party heading into a 2020 presidential election going against an incumbent who has plenty of poll numbers will certainly use this to paint the president as very extreme and very wrong for the future of the country. What do you say? I'm curious. We want to do an unofficial poll. So send me your thoughts at katedelaneyradio.com, katedelaneyradio.com. And if you didn't hear in the very beginning what the president said, here's another quick clip about the prez reacting to specifically Tlaib in this case.
This is not a sane person, folks, when you look at that. And this is what we're up against. You have some of that. Now,
Okay, so that's what he's saying. He's saying it's not right, the stuff that she's saying, etc. And that's it when he was asked about it. So political correctness out the window, and 2020 becomes more interesting, particularly with younger voters. Younger voters, which way are they going? Conservative or liberal or somewhere in between? Pick a label. I always say that, left of left, right of right. But where are they voting and what are they looking at as to what is important? What's going to be important on Hump Day is going to be Robert Mueller, because he's testifying. And despite the fact that the Department of Justice released some instructions for Mueller, he is going to be sitting there for 5 hours, probably, maybe more, maybe a little less. And he'll be answering questions about his investigation. The Department of Justice says you're following the 448-page report, that's it. But others think there's a great opportunity to stray, whatever that means. So the House Judicial Committee granted even Mueller's request to have his top aide in the investigation of the Russian meddling in the 2016 election, Aaron Zebley, sit at the table with him. He's not expected to be sworn in for questioning, but obviously he's there for moral support and perhaps to shed some light on something that may come up during the testimony. They've been working on this, structuring it now for days. And Zebley was Mueller's chief of staff at the FBI and worked on the special counsel's team. Fascinating or boring. Because I, you know, if you stick to what's in the report, what comes out of this? I mean, two aides already canceled plans to testify with the special counsel because they are getting pressure hosed from the Department of Justice, and the Department of Justice didn't like the fact that Zebley was going to be there in the first place. But this is the buzz in the land. This is your taxpayer dollars, mine. And if there's something on the rug to sweep out, well, okay, show us what it is. But we were saying that for years, and nothing really shook out except for a bunch of bad peeps are going to prison for different reasons, however connected in a way to the investigation as it all fell out. And there, it really was a house of cards, some that came out of it, like Michael Cohen, the president for the attorney for one, Paul Manafort for another. Well, every time I think of Paul Manafort, I just think of dollar signs. I think of the old comic book character, Richie Rich, and Richie Rich, his dad. He reminds me of his dad because they listed all the crazy toys that he had for millions and millions of dollars. But, of course, he had a lot of money. But how did he get that money? And then that's what got him pinched, and his dealings with others in Russia, etc., but nothing connected to the election. So what is Bob Mueller going to say that's going to blow us out of the water? What's going to happen there? All right, speaking of bipartisan votes and actually getting along, how about this? The House opposed the Israel boycott in a bipartisan vote, overwhelmingly, right? Opposed an effort to boycott Israel, that country. Despite all the heat and the rhetoric that's on there, Democrats have been wrestling with this all year long, but the Republicans fell that way too. The resolution, 398-17. How about that? Numbers coming up.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
They can't what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendivite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Yeah, Shark Week, it is an annual deal, and there are numbers to talk about when it comes to sharks. This is a whole different ballgame, I think, this year. You think of the shark attacks in North Carolina. They rank in the top five for shark attacks, according to a new study. What are the odds that you could be in the middle of that? I have family going to North Carolina next week for a week. If I could have, I would have joined them, and there's lots of kids involved in that. So right on the heels of the attacks, then there was the shark attacks on the teenager on the boogie board off of the Florida coast. There was this sad, sad, sad fatal shark attack in the Bahamas. So this 2019 version of Shark Week, which started back in 1988, do you even care? Are you a fan? Do you watch? Do you even know what I'm talking about? Maybe not. Maybe you do. And maybe you don't. Eric, our technical maestro for this show, told me he doesn't watch. He asked me about it because he's busy. And I love this answer, though. He's busy living his life. He's doing his music. He's involved in other things. So good for him. He's not plopping on the couch and being sucked away for hours watching mindless tube. But I have to say, I think it's educational. I do enjoy Shark Week, and it's always a very BDD, big damn deal. So, yes, Shark Week is coming up Sunday, July 22nd is Shark Week. And they say they're going to clear up some of the bad rumors about sharks. They're going to talk about the fact that it's not as bad as people say. Well, except for tell that to the family of the girl who was completely mauled in the Bahamas, or the people who were also attacked in North Carolina, including one girl who lost her leg. It's been a very strange summer of attacks. And, I mean, this is television's longest running return event every year, 1 week. So it goes, the shows go through August 4th. And actually, it starts July 28th. So July 28th. And they do a week before of the ones from last year. So I guess the 22nd, but the new ones are on the 28th. And it's, you know, 20 hours of shark stories and taming sharks. And what does it mean? You know, what does it mean to swim with sharks? What does it mean with what sharks do in the ocean waters? And what's the significance of sharks? And I can't even do it justice. I can tell you this. They've got 360 multiple platform experiences to highlight the discovery. So that's incredible. The camera angles, all of that, like, plunge you beyond what you can imagine. And why is this a big deal? Because there are actually teams of people trying to protect sharks from the shark fin trade, for example, that harm as many as 73 million sharks. That's a real number, 73 million sharks. And there's others that are raising awareness for the fight against the wasteful practice and educating fans about it. And I remember being on a boat in Hawaii, and they were talking about this whole shark fin thing, and they were getting people to sign petitions because shark fin soup is a big deal in Japan. Last year, it was so big. So if you poo-poo this Shark Week thing, it was so big, 34.9 million total viewers. Total viewers. That's a big deal. People care. People are watching. People are fascinated by sharks. I have two friends that won't swim in the ocean because of sharks. They've never had an attack or anyone in their family. But as my one friend, Tanya, in Charleston, South Carolina, says, you know what? It's their environment, so I don't need to be in their environment. It's where they live, and I'm okay with swimming in the pool and staying on the beach. And because of the scares and so much that's been reported, there are a lot of people that are starting to really feel that way. The deadly shark attack with the college student that was killed really freaked out a lot of people, I think, for sure. And as they try to figure out, gosh, how did that happen? And imagine the poor girl's mom having to live with witnessing that and trying to drag, you know, trying to get her ashore. I mean, they couldn't. There wasn't anything they could do. They were screaming and screaming at her to try to get her to come back, but they just, you know, they couldn't help her. And there were too many sharks that were on top of her for her to do, you know, for her to do much than try to fight back and flail. And they say you take your fist and you hit the nose of the shark. So Shark Week will be interesting. And there's certainly times to avoid the ocean. And places to avoid where people are fishing would be one great thing to avoid. And where you know that there's possibilities, and certainly where the waters are chummed. So look for me to talk about sharks a little bit in the upcoming week. Because I think I've watched it. I have. I've watched it, I can't say every episode, but I've watched it since 88. So it's when it first started. Because when it first started, I was living in California, and near shark-infested waters off of Pismo Beach, where the water was cool in the Pacific Ocean, which was the shocker to me because I thought, didn't the Beach Boys sing about California girls? I couldn't wrap my mind around. I don't get it. It's never, the water is never warm here. I mean, just never. Never, never, never. All right, so numbers. Let's talk about this for a second. The media. Government. Nobody trusts the media or government. 3/4 of Americans believe trust in the federal government is shrinking, and more than 2/3 say the same for personal trust. Wow. So more than 10,000 adults were surveyed by the Pew Research Center, and that's how it came out. Many people no longer think the federal government can actually be a force for good or change in their lives. Wow. I always say about when we talk about Washington, it's like the buzz in your backyard and mine, what affects us and what doesn't affect us because things aren't being done. And the reason they say there's apathy, disengagement, people think that their representatives don't represent them or lie to them. And so key findings, 69% say the federal government withholds important information from the public. 61% say the news media ignores important stories. 58% of adults are not confident people can hold civil conversations with those who have different viewpoints. 57% are not confident people will cast informed votes in elections. That's very, very, very sad. And young adults are about half as hopeful as older adults when asked how confident they are that Americans respect the rights of those who are not like them. So elected officials, no confidence vote is 63%, business leaders 57%, officials appointed by a president to oversee a government agency 57%, the news media 52%, journalists 44%, religious leaders getting a pounding 38%, professors, 32, police officers, 31. I'm not surprised by that. And it goes all the way down to the militaries at 16%. You know what? It's all about that next election. That's what I think. I think it's about getting reelected, the people around you wanting to keep their jobs and have you get reelected depending on what the position is. Instead of being concerned about, imagine if you ran a business that way, not being concerned at all about your customers. You'd be looking in the rearview mirror. I think they don't look to be accountable. I think they don't look to serve many of the politicians, I'm saying all, to serve the people that they represent because they're elected. That's what that's about. But it's so much about moving on to the next time, the next term, that often what happens is we get caught in the crossfire of all of that. To me, that's the biggest mistake that I see happening over and over and over and over again. And, of course, that erodes that trust, and that's why those numbers are so high for politicians. People don't trust the politicians because there's so many promises when they run, and then they don't pay off those promises. So you're waiting. They've ticked the boxes that have gotten you excited, but then it never, ever comes up, and it's about complacency sometimes. And just finding the easiest road to doing it all over again. Oh, my, oh, my. Stay with us. I'll meet you on the other side.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Washington is getting ready for the nationally televised hearings with former special counsel Robert Mueller, and so is the White House. President Trump has spent the last several days discussing his appearance.
I saw Mueller testify to him again. How many times? Two and a half years.
The president has been asking people about what to expect. He also said He thinks the Democrats will never let the investigation go. His Republican allies are assuring him it won't change a thing.
I've heard all I need to hear from Mueller.
In his only statement after being appointed special counsel, Mueller said he would not go beyond the report if he testified. The Justice Department's letter was in response to his request for guidance about limits on his upcoming testimony. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor, and the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS, and they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
The sky, watching stars like diamonds shining there on high, that somehow in that great unknown you may find you are not alone.
This time around on Author's Corner, excited to welcome to the show Elizabeth Clayton. The Quiet Sheba is the name of the book that she's written. In fact, trilogy. Think trilogy. I love trilogies. We had just a fabulous conversation off the air, so I'm pleased to introduce her to you. Hey, Elizabeth, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
So you and I talked about how you pulled this all together and the nature of it and what made you decide you were going to write really a trilogy, but The Quiet Sheba. How did Quiet Sheba come about?
Well, it came about in stages as life, does occur, and events did happen in my life that made me, that put me in a position where I was alone in different stages of aloneness for a number of years. And the first part was the death of my husband, which followed the death of all the principals in my life. I lost all of my significant others in less than 5 years. And so I was very, very alone in that regard. I had a schism with my family so that they're gone. And I had an accident which almost required my leg. It was almost amputated, and so I had to retire from teaching. So those things just kind of came bam, 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 and each time put me more and more alone. And so it was a cathartic effort, the writing. I had always written, but I wrote because I was so alone. And each period, I went into a little bit different phase of the loneliness and the acceptance and the coming back. So that's how I came to have the three volumes.
Wow. And so, like we said, the three volumes, you know, you talk about nature and solitude and wisdom. You and I talked about that. When you're in that situation, how do you lift yourself up? Obviously, the writing, and you said that was really cathartic. How do you bounce back from that?
Well, I didn't bounce back very well for a long time. I was alone, and I was very much full of self-pity and doubt and dissonance and hurt and all of those things. I was just very, very dark, and I accommodated to the dark. I even took pleasure in the dark. I refused to see what few people I could have seen, and I delved into many, many aspects of life, which was a growing experience. It was a maturing experience. And so I think to answer your question, I dealt with it. I just did the only thing I knew to do, and that was just to abide. I just had to abide. You heard that old hymn, "Abide with Me."
Yeah.
How the person asked God to abide with him in his sorrow, in a death. And it was like a death to me. It was like I died. It was like I lost everything.
Wow.
And I had to abide. I had to start looking beyond the dark after a period, because you can only cry so much, you can only hurt so much, you can only hate so much. If you do hate, I don't think I ever hated, but you can only be angry so long, and then you have to look beyond, or at least that was the way I felt. And So after I abided for about 5 years, I decided I wanted to go in a little bit different direction. And so the writing was what helped me to, you know, really word that to myself.
Wow. And we do want to tell other people again, Quiet Sheba is the book we're talking about, really a trilogy. We're with author Elizabeth Clayton, that many people listening know what that despair can be like with different losses that you've talked about. But certainly one of the bright spots in your life is Mississippi College, because you were a literature instructor, and obviously that paid off for you in your writing as well. So it was almost...
It was a wonderful experience. I took my baccalaureate, as did all of my family at MC, and then when I went back there to teach, I had already retired, from my earlier years, and it was just a wonderful experience. I had some beautiful, beautiful students, and the literature was so much richer to me then than it was as a young woman, although I always have indulged in literary pursuits, and I've always written, I've always read. And I think that in telling my students to study, they say, why? And I said, because it is record of the greatest thought upon the greatest minds that the world has produced. And that's the reason you should study it. You learn wisdom. You learn how to live. You learn how to feel. You learn how to think. All these things.
Yeah, but wow, that's terrific to tell people that for sure. What do you hope people take away from reading your books? What do you hope they get out of that?
I think that it tells them sort of what Winston Churchill, I don't mean to put myself in his circle, but, you know, he said he suffered from melancholia all of his life. He was not a bipolar as I am, but he was depressive. And he talks about the dark hound that was always stalking him, which is something I do. And he said, you never give up. Never, 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 never. And
wow.
That is my motto. I start over every day.
This is powerful in talking about dealing with being bipolar. When you say you start over every day, what do you do to center yourself? That's helpful.
I say I will give myself 30 minutes, and then I will rise.
Wow.
And I don't know what makes me rise. I don't know what makes me go on about whatever I have to do with my coffee or whatever, because I've been alone all of my life. My husband's travel, and my family's gone, and as you grow older, your circle of friends becomes very small, and your acquaintances grow, but your friends grow smaller. And I don't know what makes me really push that way. It's probably something genetic. It's probably also the models of my parents.
Wow. Well, what a pleasure to talk to you again. Elizabeth Clayton, Quiet Sheba, the trilogy gives people a lot of hope, and you're getting your work out there and encouraging all those students for all those years. It was just terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow. So talking to Elizabeth, she was very, what I liked about talking to Elizabeth, she was very candid. That the fact that, you know, it's true, you don't think about this when you're younger, but how your circle grows smaller and there's more loneliness. And she was dealing with being bipolar. And I love that she mentioned Winston Churchill, who talked about the dark hounds, which is very true. And he did say that famous quote that she mentioned, never, never give up. You think about some of his other quotes. He had another quote that he was very famous for. If you're going through hell, keep going. And that was Winston Churchill. So I really appreciate the fact that she brought up Churchill. The other thing is, when we had our conversation, we talked about Emily Dickinson. And the thing that was so sad, and part of the reason why Elizabeth was really wanting to get her work out there, because, you know, leaving a legacy, putting it out there for other people to see, is people don't realize this about Emily Dickinson, and they celebrate her as this great American poet, and the fact that, you know, she grew up in this family that was prominent in Massachusetts, and they had these great ties in the community. But she, who struggled herself, none of her poetry, all of her works were published afterwards. So all of the great poems that she had put together, it wasn't out there during her lifetime. And you think of the huge volume of work, and I think of some of her quotes. Forever is composed of nows. Tell the truth, but tell it slant. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tunes without the words and never stops at all. I mean, I can think of a lot of Dickinson from my school days and her writing style and all of that. And why was Emily Dickinson important, and why was that such a great tie-in to Elizabeth and my conversation with her and what you just heard there? Because she's, again, regarded as one of our greatest poets in America and is known for her life of self-imposed social seclusion. She was definitely secluded, but she wrote this poetry that was so powerful. And so much of her poems questioned the nature of immortality and death. And, you know, as it's been described, what they call a mantric quality. So in pulling that back around, it is interesting and I think important that when you have something to say, that you do get it down and you do get it out there. Otherwise, everything that you've put down can get lost. And then if somebody finds it and they do try to pull it together, and this is something that Elizabeth taught me in our conversation, then the meaning can be misconstrued because you don't have a hand in it. So I think about scraps of paper, things that you write down, it's like journals, and somebody reads it and they don't really make the connection to what it was you were trying to say. So I think this is very powerful, and in this conversation, in this author's corner, it's something that everybody listening should take away. If you have something to say, no matter what, put it down. Put it down in a journal. Put it out there, whatever it is you need to do. And we thank Elizabeth for, again, that conversation and her contribution to so many of those kids that she worked with at Southern Mississippi for decades. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
If you feel you've been lied to, pressured, or misled into buying your timeshare, you have the right to cancel completely. This is Steve Sanchez, and I'd like to introduce you to Wesley Financial Group, the leading top-rated timeshare cancellation company in the country. That's right, no more excessive fees or lifetime commitments that make you feel like you're serving a prison sentence. Founded by CEO Chuck McDowell, a pioneer in the industry, who went into federal court and won against the largest timeshare resort company in the world just to help you get out of your timeshare. Too good to be true? No. Countless testimonials and the highest ratings from the Better Business Bureau make Wesley Financial Group the real deal, and their money-back guarantee they put in writing makes them the Steve Sanchez choice for successfully canceling your timeshare guaranteed. To get their free information kit, call 1-800-475-1919. That's 1-800-475-1919, or visit them at timesharecancellations.com. That's 1-800-475-1919.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
This edition of For Your Health, we're talking about something that's very serious, summer lung disease awareness. There's going to be some things, I think, that frankly will blow your mind that you had no idea about. In our virtual green room right now, Dr. Patrick Flume to talk about that. Hey, Doc, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, talk about what is the lung disease that so many of us don't know about. In fact, when I first got the call about doing an interview with you, I started to look this up, and in a way, it kind of freaked me out, to be honest, because I started thinking about some of my relatives and realizing we don't know anything about this. So let's tell the listeners.
Yeah, so first, be careful what you read on the internet, but what we're talking about is NTM lung disease, and NTM stands for non-tuberculous mycobacteria, so you can see why we abbreviate it. And these are infections that are caused by a bacteria that is normal in our environment. It lives in the soil and lives in the water supply, so we're all being exposed, although not everyone will develop an infection. And for many people, it may be mild, but for others, it can be serious and progressive and cause serious damage to the lungs.
So obviously, it's important for people to know about it. Why is it that so many of us don't know about it? I mean, it's important that you're doing this and obviously raising awareness. And as you said, be careful what you read on the internet, because then you don't really know what's going on. As somebody who is steeped in this, you do this for a living, why is this something that hasn't been talked about enough, frankly?
Well, for one, it's a rare disease, but on the other hand, it's one that we're finding with increasing frequency. And although some people might worry that this is increasing in prevalence, meaning more people are actually getting infected, others, it may be because people are just aware of it, they're thinking about it, they're looking for it. And that's one of the challenges in this condition, is that because the symptoms mimic other lung conditions, many patients will go a long time before the proper diagnosis may be made.
Ooh, so what are some of the symptoms, and who is at most risk for NTM lung disease?
Since we're talking about lung infection, many patients will have respiratory symptoms like a persistent cough. I don't mean a cough just for a couple of weeks, but one that just doesn't seem to be going away. That cough is often productive of sputum or phlegm from the lungs. Other symptoms are more nonspecific and systemic, like low-grade fevers, night sweats, weight loss, and severe fatigue, almost like having the flu. Although all of us are exposed to these bacteria, there are patients who are much more vulnerable to infection like this. They typically have underlying lung disease, like chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or COPD, like emphysema, bronchiectasis, cystic fibrosis, and even immune deficiencies.
Wow. We're speaking with Dr. Patrick Flume, pulmonologist and professor of medicine and pediatrics at the Medical University of South Carolina. And, you know, in talking about that and talking about who's at risk for it, how are people exposed to NTM bacteria and how do you reduce that exposure?
Since these are environmental organisms, that means they live in the soil and in the water supply. In that sense, all of us are potentially exposed. There are some areas of the country where people believe there are a greater density of these bacteria because many of the patients we identify live in coastal regions.
Mm.
Some steps people have suggested to reduce exposure, if you're working with the soil, like gardening, you're trying to prevent it getting into dusty situations, so wetting the soil or even wearing a face mask to try to reduce aspiration. Since these bacteria in the water supply, avoiding things like hot tubs, some have suggested turning up the temperature in your water heater. And then these bacteria can be found in shower heads. And so some have suggested using shower heads with either wider nozzles so there's less of a mist, or even just shifting to taking baths as opposed to showers.
Wow, that's some great suggestions. When we look at that and we look at people and getting tested for it. So that's the question is, in moving this forward, how are people tested for NTM lung disease, and what happens if somebody tests positive? What do you do?
The first step is obviously considering it as a potential diagnosis. So if a patient has symptoms and you're wondering if they could have NTM lung disease, imaging is the best next step, and probably best with a CT scan of the chest, looking for features that would be suggestive of mycobacterial infection. But you still have to get the bug. So we got to get a culture either from their sputum, or in some cases, if people can't cough something up, actually doing a procedure in which we go down and try to find the bug. So in those who we identify the bug, that not everyone needs to be treated for the infection. And so we very carefully try to figure out in which patients the bug is clearly causing the problems or showing signs of progression. And so we treat the underlying condition that may have made them vulnerable to infection. We work on clearance of airway secretions. And if we do recommend antibiotics, generally it's multiple antibiotics over a long period of time.
Wow. So, and when you get into the antibiotics, are there specific kinds that you end up prescribing that seem to clear it up the best?
So there are recommendations. We have guidelines that have been published by the American Thoracic Society and the Infectious Disease Society of America that have made recommendations as what would be a proper approach to treatment. Mm-hmm. And so we would advise physicians to look at those as their resource to try and initiate therapy, or when in doubt, refer to someone who sees a lot of these patients and has a lot of experience with them.
Yeah. So what are resources that are available for people who are interested in learning more, who are listening to this conversation about NTM lung disease, Doc?
I'm very cautious about the Internet because it's There's a lot of who knows what out there. But there are some resources which are actually quite useful. And so if they want to go to the web, I would recommend going to aboutntm.com. It is a resource that provides useful information as well as links to other sources to get even more information. And then there are patient support groups for those with the diagnosis that can provide useful stories for people to learn from.
Yeah, and one of the things I want to make sure that we get this out there, and you said it, you mentioned it, because we have a lot of people listening in coastal areas. While it happens throughout the United States, 7 out of 10, is that right, of all NTM infections occur in coastal areas?
That is correct.
Wow.
Some of that may be related to there's a greater awareness in those areas, and so people are looking for it more. But there is a strong suggestion that it might be related to climate. And so where you have a lot of water, you have a greater potential of having these bacteria.
Yeah, and we said this, but it's worth mentioning again, because we have a lot of different people that are listening to us, a lot of different age groups. Who seems to be the most prevalent for it?
It's the conditions that are at greater risk for those with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, like COPD or emphysema, bronchiectasis, cystic fibrosis, immune deficiencies, and we tend to make the diagnosis in older patients. Most of the patients are over the age of 65.
Yeah. For you, and last question, Doc, as you see this, I mean, it sounds like you're pretty hopeful. Obviously, it's about awareness and getting that out. So if somebody does detect this and they go through what we just talked about, there's a great chance that they can knock this out, right? It's about being aware and getting checked out and all of that.
Yes, it is. We believe that in those patients who would benefit from treatment, obviously the earlier we could institute that therapy would be best. And since historically many of these patients have gone long periods of time before the diagnosis is made, that's why we're trying to get the awareness up.
Yes, so pay attention and pass this interview on. People listening, Dr. Patrick Flume, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much.
All right, and as we let the doctor slip away, I just want to emphasize this again because it was really interesting talking to him. As I said, that statistic, you know, I'm all about numbers. 7 out of 10 of all NTM infections occur in those coastal areas, and many of you are listening to us there, and you heard what he said, who's at risk, COPD, people that already have conditions, etc., especially. And NTM lung disease cases are increasing by 8%. Each year in the U.S., so raising awareness, and the reason for this interview, of course, is to raise awareness of the risk, and it's so, so important. And I think the great thing that Dr. Patrick Flume told us is ways that you can be cautious and try to avoid putting yourself in certain situations where this could occur. So pay attention to the risk factors, and symptoms, and then what you can do about it to try to protect yourself from being in those situations where this could occur and could be a possibility. So hang with us. Much more coming up down the road.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.